You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
For the third time this season, the Edmonton Oilers have been shut out. They get whipped 5-0. By the Dallas Stars tonight, who set a franchise record with their 8th consecutive victory. Jake Oettinger records his 2nd consecutive shutout. He hasn't allowed a goal in 152 minutes and 21 seconds. It was 1-0 Dallas into the latter stages of the second period. They then scored 4 goals in 5 minutes and 48 seconds. It was capped off by a couple of goals 24 seconds apart right near the end of the period, the third period, just a formality. So 5-0 Dallas is the final. Just an ugly one for the Oilers, who are now 45-24-5 on the season. Dallas 48-19-9 and looking very, very good with the playoffs coming up in less than 3 weeks. Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line, it's 10:31 along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins. And Rob, it was an entertaining game and a fairly close game for, well, a little over half the game, though you and I said during the second period, we're starting to get the sense here Dallas is getting the better of the play and more greater opportunities. And then the pucks just started going in, and they got a lot of good players, and the Oilers made a lot of silly mistakes tonight as well.
They did. You know, in the first 20 minutes, the Oilers had grade A chances, as did Dallas. Both teams, that we saw the one 9 seconds apart, both teams had a breakaway. Both goalies made big saves. But in the second period, the depth of the Dallas Stars and the speed of the Dallas Stars started creating more and more scoring chances. They created more and more turnovers. They got in quickly on the forecheck, forced the passes to be quicker than the Oilers' defense and wanted to make it. And the Oilers started making the big mistakes. The first goal, Leon, fans on puck. I don't think that was as much a mistake as his poor execution. Turns the puck over 2-on-1. It's in the net. There was the bad pinch by Darnell Nurse. Leon trying to go cross zone in his own zone, gets picked off. Easy goal. Carrick has full control of the puck in his own zone. He loses the battle out in front. Steele scores at the end of the second period. The Dallas Stars had 2 or 3 breakaways. They had 2 2-on-1s that Corey Perry was the only player back on the 2-on-1. So there were a lot of grade A scoring chances in favor of the Dallas Stars in this game. And it's one of those ones where, and we saw this a lot early in the season, where at the end of the night, you're like, you know what? Our goalie didn't play horrible, but he let in 5, or he let in 6. And Kelvin Pickard tonight, you're thinking, well, I mean, remember when he stopped those 2 breakaways? There's that cross-ice one. Sagan walked down off. Like, all these great saves, yet he had 5 on it. In the third period, the Dallas Stars didn't even try offensively. It was just flip the puck out, as both teams wanted the period to end. So, yeah, it was a game that a lot of self-inflicted wounds by the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and that's kind of the theme we've seen for this team. And I suppose you could say any team in the NHL, but it seems for the Oilers, we see games where they don't do it. I mean, they played a pretty solid, checking, relatively mistake-free game against the LA Kings. Mm-hmm. They played pretty well against the Winnipeg Jets, you know, got that win in overtime. And then tonight, like you said, it just kept mounting and mounting and mounting. And I think that's probably the frustration for fans tonight. And with the playoffs, you know, you can see them now. It's only 10% of the regular season left. You're going to play a team of Dallas's quality or close in the first round, pretty much regardless of who it is. And you know, if you have efforts like this, you're basically asking your goaltender to make 15 great A saves in a game.
Well, I think in for fans of the Oilers, when they look at the last two series that the Oilers have lost in the playoffs, it was on games that they weren't, you know, outworked in the games against the Colorado Avalanche or against the Vegas Golden Knights. They just were giving up too many grade A scoring chances. The Oilers would have lots of pressure, and then they just make a poor decision, or they would turn the puck over, or they would lose coverage, and all of a sudden the Oilers needed to score five to win a hockey game. And that's what we saw tonight in this game. Dallas scored five, probably should have scored eight or nine. The Oilers had their chances, but when the Oilers are playing well, they find ways, when the puck isn't finding the back of the net, they find a way to win the game 3-2. You know, maybe it might take overtime, but we're only going to give up two against. Tonight, the best case scenario for the Oilers was the five against. Should have been more. And that's what they were like defensively early in the season, and those games are supposed to be out of their system. Now, Dallas is good, and they will make you look silly at times. They've done that to a number of teams, but this was an Oiler game that just, with the playoffs so close and the excitement level of this game because who they're playing against and they're testing themselves against one of the league's best, the Oilers were not even close enough to being good enough in this hockey game.
So the Stars have won 8 straight, and their goal differential 34-11 over that winning streak. That's a franchise record, by the way, even going back to when they were the Minnesota North Stars, so pretty impressive for them. And it's been interesting for Ottinger because he is a top-tier goalie. I know from talking to people who cover the Stars, mm-hmm. they actually say this year hasn't been as good as a couple of his previous ones. I know he's still relatively young. But now, you know, with the playoffs, here he comes. I mean, look, this wasn't a goaltending win for Dallas, but I don't want to downplay Ottinger either because he made some really good saves, and he's looking very locked in. 2 straight shutouts here for him.
Yeah, he has had an off year at his standards, though I think he's 6-0 in his last 6 games with a goals against average in the ones. So he's turned his game around at the right time. If the Carrick chance, if it goes in, I believe that was shorthanded. If that shorthanded goal goes in, maybe the game is different, but he makes a fantastic save there. Stopped Connor 2 or 3 times. Once Connor and Nuge on a 2-on-1. Great save there. So he made the saves when he had to. And Dallas made mistakes as well. But there weren't as many, and they weren't as big.
Yeah.
But, Ottinger was very good in this game. And this Dallas team, if this Dallas team gets quality goaltending, they're so hard to beat because, again, no weakness in their lineup. They have 4 very good lines. Their defense is good and deep. Tonight they didn't even have Hakanpää playing, and he's a top 6 defenseman. He wasn't in their lineup tonight. They're well coached. They've got veteran players all throughout their lineups. It's a good team. Now, the Oilers may never see them in the playoffs because Dallas still has to go through Colorado as well, but that is a team that, in a 7-game series, they'll wear you down because they don't have to overplay anybody on their lineup.
Jake Ottinger, the first star tonight. Radek Faxa, the second star. Wyatt Johnson, the third star. The fourth star for Jandell Holmes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. I'm actually going to give it to Sam Steele tonight, the local product played for Dallas and got a goal in this game. Had an assist as well. I'm not giving it to an Oiler after a 5-0 loss. Are you going to decline to do that as well?
I thought
we could give it to Pickard.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I played in a game in the minors where we lost 8-0, and I was our star of the game. I probably was -4 that night. Going across the ice to get my Brute men's deodorant was really embarrassing, so I'm not going to do that to any of the Oiler players tonight.
Special teams as well, we should touch on. Dallas goes 1-for-3 on the power play. Sagan got their power play goal. That made it 2-0. The power play update for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. The Oilers were 0-for-4. They did have opportunities when they could have tied it or pulled mm-hmm. within one. And it is interesting noting this, and Chris Knobloch was actually asked about it before the game today, and he said, well, you know, it's puck luck, and maybe we're not quite as sharp on the road. But the Oilers' power play on the road is 15th, so barely above average in the NHL at 20%, so it'll probably drop maybe to 20 or just below tonight. I didn't update the percentage, but they didn't Now, Leon did hit the post on a play that was set up perfectly, yep. and he drilled it hard. Okay, it hit the post. That happens. But I didn't think that they created a lot on, nope. on the power play.
I agree. I thought Dallas did a very good job of closing their box, and you saw probably three or four times where McDavid went all the way up around the top, along the blue line, down the side, just kept looking for that one. Is it going to hit Hyman backdoor? Is he going to go cross to Leon? Is he going to throw it back into the slot for Nugent Hopkins? Then he got down low. Then he had to turn and come all the way back up again because the Dallas Stars had taken away all of those passing lanes. Dallas was very good. They were very aggressive on the forecheck on their penalty kill. It wasn't. I know that Bob was not happy with. He said that the Oilers lost momentum, and they probably did. I think there was a whole lot of other reasons that the Oilers lost this game, but their power play, which is such a lethal weapon, and probably their biggest weapon, and if it's cold as it was in tonight's game and a couple other the road trip games as of late, it gives hope for those teams that the Oilers play against. All right, we, you know what? We can survive this power play. Not many teams in the NHL against the Oilers in the playoffs last year survived the Oilers' power play. They were in the 40%. So teams are trying to figure out how to slow it down. Tonight the Dallas Stars did. And again, a power play goal here or there could have changed the way this game went. At least put a little stress on the Dallas Stars, who really did not have to play with any stress for the last 26, 27 minutes of the game.
So 5-0, Dallas wins it. Let's go at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Probably best to let you kind of start with what you saw and what you sort of felt about the way things went tonight versus Dallas.
Well, in the first period, I thought we had a lot of good chances to score. I think it's a different game if those go in. I know three goalposts, two in the first period, one early in the second period. That would make a big difference. But I think our defensive details, whether it was getting beat up by the ice when they're breaking the puck out, or us just swinging for pucks in the defensive zone, just giving it too easy to play against.
When you look at Dallas, they win 8 in a row. You've obviously had some long winning streaks, so you know what it's like when a team gets hot. Can you kind of just chalk it up as not necessarily just one of those nights, but a team that's playing as well as they are at home, that sometimes things like this can kind of happen?
Absolutely. A lot of credit to the Dallas Stars. They're playing really good hockey. They are a really good team, and you can see why they're leading the East or the Western Conference right now, and playing well. And for us to come in here was a challenge for us, and you know, we came up short. We thought it was a good test to see how good we are, and we still have some work to do to catch up to them.
As a head coach, how do you lead the discussion with this group about the self-inflicted wounds and the mistakes made in that second period to make sure that that's not a repeatable and consistent thing?
Yeah, I think overall we've defended well and played pretty good hockey. There'll be some reminders on what we got away from and what we can't do against good teams. You know, maybe we can get away from that against a team that isn't as competitive and as talent as Dallas is, but you know, against those teams that are, you know, the Colorados, Vegas, and Dallas, and you know, there's a lot of good teams in our conference that we cannot let that happen.
A couple of weeks away from playoff hockey, does a game like this demonstrate how fine and thin the margins of error are against really good hockey teams, and what you're going to expect?
Yeah, I'd be concerned if we couldn't play and beat this team, but you know, that's, tonight wasn't who we are. We're a much better hockey team than that, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be better for it.
Okay, that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch. Brief comments after the Oilers are pounded 5-0 by the Stars. Again, Dallas 4 goals in 5 minutes and 48 seconds late in the second period to blow it open and, well, end it. It was 1-0 before that, as the Oilers are shut out for the third time this season. Everybody's point streak ends, obviously. Vander Kane up to 21 games without a goal. Just the Oilers did outshoot Dallas 35-32, largely because the Oilers had 17 shots in the first period, and Dallas only had 4 shots in the third. It was 9-4 Oilers. For a while, it was like, The shots were 4-3 Edmonton, almost, well, two-thirds of the way through the third period, as there was not a lot going on in the third period.
That would be as low event games can be. Chris Knobloch, he talked about what we had just been throwing out there, that the Oilers, when they're playing the Chicagos and the Anaheims, they get away with some of the mistakes they make. But tonight, good teams make you pay. Colorado, the game, how they won the game at the end with McKinnon, little mistake by Bouchard, little mistake by Leon Draisaitl, they make you pay. The Dallas Stars tonight, a number of mistakes by the Edmonton Oilers, the Dallas Stars make you pay. And the problem is when you get into the playoffs, You don't have Anaheims or San Jose's or Chicago's or teams like that. You only have good teams. So the part of the game that the Oilers were so good at when they were winning 16 in a row, it has escaped them a little bit in some of these games as of late, and the Dallas Stars tonight made them pay because of it.
Yeah, and I think that would be, and I talked about this before the game as well, Rob, that would be a concern for me for the Oilers heading into the playoffs. I mean, they are deeper at forward than we've seen them in our time working together. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But who's going to score? Now, this game was not close, but you might be in a 2-2 game. You might be in a 1-1 game. You might be in a game where, you know, the top two lines on either team are canceling each other.
Well,
after checking
for example,
each other
McKinnon
really hard.
Going against McDavid.
Right. Yep. So, you know, who's going to pot that goal? I mean, like I said, you got Kane without 21. I mean, 21, he's usually been a top six player, hasn't. Connor Brown, we know the story, was brought here to be a top six player, has now become a bottom six player penalty kill specialist. So there's been a few more points lately. So like you were saying, Dallas, you know, Ben's on the third line. Fax is on the fourth line, one of the best players in the game. Steele's on the fourth line. He gets a goal. Stankoven's on the third line, like a WHL sensation.
Well,
now transitioning to the NHL.
He was leading the AHL in scoring when he
came
up.
Right, so that that's something that's going to linger from it. Like, I do think the forwards 1 through 12 can, as they did against LA, can build on shift after shift and can hem other teams in. You know, it's not like 3 or 4 years ago where you wouldn't have much offensive presence from lines 3 or 4, sometimes not even line 2.
Yep.
But can those players pot one? You know, can Sam Carrick jump on a turnover like Stankoven can and finish a play? Or whoever, you know?
Well, in this game tonight, the fourth line for Dallas scored 3 goals. Faxa and Steele, that's their fourth line. They were +3 in the game. They had 3 goals. Ben and Stankoven, Ben, that's their third line. Ben scored a goal. So their third and fourth line scored 4 goals in this hockey game. So there's going to be, their top-end talent isn't as good as the Oilers. They don't have Connor. They don't have Leon. They don't have a 50-goal scorer like Hyman. But they also have guys in their fourth line that are capable of having 3-point nights.
Mm-hmm.
They have guys in their third line that can make pretty plays on 2-on-1s, turn the puck over. It is deep. So, yes, 100%, it's one thing to keep momentum going. It's another thing in a game where you run into a really good goaltender and all of a sudden, well, for example, Janmark, wide open net today. Now, great play by Ben coming back. That's a goal that you need, and you will need it playoff time. So we will see come playoff time if they can get the production out of their third and fourth lines. The one thing that we've seen a lot, Reed, over the last little while is the Oilers have been mixing and matching their lines a lot. And we thought, okay, here's what they're going to go with their second line, and then it switches. Perry and Fogle switch quickly, and all of a sudden there's a couple losses. Do they go back and change it again? There's only 8 games left to find out what you want to do come playoff time, and I'm not sure the Oilers have figured it out, how they want their line set up for game 1 of the playoffs.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 CHED.
He'll try to go low. That's taken away by Ekholm. He'll get it out. Up the right side to Nugent Hopkins. He'll get it in front to Carrick. Oh, the save made by Ottinger with a right pad. What a chance. Shorthanded for the Oilers. Hintz. He'll split the D. And oh, big stop by Pickard as Hintz trying to go low stick side.
Well, that was quite a sequence in the first period. Back-to-back breakaways, Carrick and Hintz, Ottinger and Pickard coming up with the stops, the saves of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Ottinger not beaten at all, 35 save shutout. Pickard stops 27 out of 32. His stat line maybe doesn't look great. Didn't get a lot of help from his teammates in large stretches of this game as Dallas takes it to the Oilers 5-0 is the final tonight. James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They're filling the net this season with $100 to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous for every Oilers goal. Nothing tonight. The total for the season, $26,400. Yeah, Rob, just tough, like you were saying earlier, poor decisions, big mistakes, and, you know, obviously by some of the Oilers' better players.
Yep.
You know, Draisaitl, Nurse, just an inexplicable pinch. those are the two that led to goals, but there were certainly other plays, or just guys getting, Kulak with that one play behind the net, got bailed out by Pickard. He went the wrong way checking a guy, I think.
Well, I mean, there was the one late, I mean, when the game was out of reach where Bouchard just passed it, literally passed it to the Dallas guy in front. Yeah. It was the Oilers were off. They it was not a good night at all by them from top to bottom. Didn't really create a whole lot after about the 4 or 5 minute mark of the second period. Their power play didn't get it done when needed to. Their penalty killing gave up a goal. Their best players had some big turnovers, bad mistakes. That again, you can get away with that against teams. They're non-playoff teams. You can't get away with it against teams that are fighting for the President's Trophy in the NHL. Dallas made them pay for all the big mistakes they had.
All right, so I think I got the math here right, Rob. Set the line for River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement bet on it. The combined hits, points, and blocked shots by Suter, Pavelski, and Perry, who are three of the eight oldest players in the NHL. It was all zeros except Suter had one hit, Pavelski had two hits, and a block. So it's four, so it's well under. So John gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card.
I was wondering why you were so quiet there during the commercials. You were doing all
your
counting.
I was trying to make sure I got it right.
Well, it was weird. You didn't have to take your shoes off because you didn't have to count that high.
No,
so that's
it only
good.
Went to four. It only went to four. They didn't get any points, so that made it relatively easy. But, yeah, like you're saying, the Pavelski, Hintz, and Robertson line, Robertson got a power play point. But, yeah, it was the bottom six guys that did most of the offensive damage for Dallas.
And that's what makes Dallas such a good hockey club, is their top players can be held in check, but then their bottom players, they get some mismatches. And they make you pay when you make mistakes. I mean, pretty place. Like, normally bottom six guys, when they have it, well, we saw it tonight. McLeod has a 2-on-1 and he shoots. And that's what most coaches will tell their bottom six players. Get a chance, put it on net. The bottom six for Dallas tonight, they're making pretty plays, saucer passes, 4-on-1 jailbreak. It was a team that is incredibly talented and incredibly deep.
5-0 Dallas wins it. We'll go to the Certainty Hotline. We have Jesse standing by. Hi, Jesse. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Jesse. Okay, let's... we have Ben. Sorry about that, Kellen. Sorry, Ben. It's you. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I noticed something a little while ago, and I'm not a huge stats guy, but I went back to look at a couple of things. Just wanted to get your opinion. So with Derek Ryan ever since... you know, the trade that happened there at the beginning of March. So I went back and looked and to see how we're doing with the different line different guys in and out,
mm-hmm.
and specifically with Derek Ryan. And it was quite amazing because before this game, I thought, geez, Derek's not in again. You know, is that going to hurt us? So with him in since the March 9th time frame when he started going in and out, we're 5-1, and with him out, we're 2-5.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Coincidence. Yeah, and I double-checked it just to make sure my numbers were right. So, I mean, it might be a coincidence. I mean, Rob also mentioned the line combinations and people getting to know each other. But that seems like quite a disparity. You know, even though he doesn't play lots of minutes, I think he had one game where they moved him up a bit a couple of weeks ago. But other than that, you know, he hasn't played lots
of
minutes.
And you just counted overtime losses as losses. Right, because they've had a couple overtime losses.
Yeah, I didn't break it up into that kind of detail.
Yeah. Okay, no. I didn't know that.
I mean, it is interesting. And, I mean, both Reed and I, fans of Derek Ryan and what he brings to the team. The one thing that you miss without him in the lineup is a right-handed centerman to take draws, especially when they're shorthanded. A lot of the times, well, he's either in the first pairing or the second pairing when it comes to penalty killing. He's an important part of that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but right now the Edmonton Oilers in their bottom six, there seems to be a player sitting out every game that probably doesn't deserve to. We saw Carrick come out after a big fight and a goal. Connor Brown playing his best hockey of the year. He's been a healthy scratch. And Derek Ryan, as this caller just talked about, has been a productive part of the bottom six when he's in, and they've found victories. So I don't know if there's anything to it, but I would expect and predict that Derek Ryan will be in next game.
Oilers lose 5-0 to Dallas. The Oilers farm team, Bakersfield, clinching an American Hockey League berth with a 4-1 win over Tucson tonight. As we go to the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. In the Western Hockey League, Red Deer game-winning power play goal with 0.9 seconds left as they beat Medicine Hat 3-2 to take a 3-1 series lead. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 4-3 after there were five fights in the first 2 seconds of the game and eight players kicked out. Lightning knock off the Maple Leafs 4-1. Kucherov 3 points, so he has 130. McKinnon has 127. McDavid has 126. Kings beat the Kraken 5-2, so they get a little closer to Vegas and the Oilers. Well, Vegas, they'd have to pass Vegas first, but
they also get a little bit closer to Nashville. Now only 1 point behind Nashville. If they pass Nashville, they will probably be in the Oilers playoff pool, and they would be division versus division if they were able to pass Nashville.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one for St. Louis because they fall five back again. And the Canucks beat the Coyotes 2-1. Dylan Gunther had the goal for Arizona.
What's he up to this year?
Connor Garland got the game winner late in the third. Dylan Gunther has... I hate what NHL.com did to this website.
I know. It's
because you try to,
it's more work.
You try
now
to scroll through the goals. I'll go to the summary here. He has 13.
Oh, good for him.
He has 13.
He's having a nice season. And Connor Garland with a goal in the last minute and a half for the Vancouver Canucks, who have struggled a little bit down the stretch, but get a big, important 2 points as they try to hold off the Oilers.
Yeah, well, they're seven up. So I think the Oilers' task is to hold on to second place. I think they're seven behind.
Possible. They still have two games in hand.
You got to play very well.
Two games in hand and one game against the Canucks.
Blue Jays lost 8-0 to Houston. Raptors have lost 15 in a row. Minnesota beats them 133-85. 5-0 Dallas over Edmonton here on 630 CHED. We have Alex on the Certainty Hotline. Hi, Alex. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, I'd like to get on the lineup bandwagon. I'm confused, too. You know, I'd like to see Kane back up on the top two lines. You're wasting Kane, period, on the third line. Everyone knows
but
it.
So, Kane, you want Kane to go up? He hasn't had a goal in 21 games, so you deserve he goes up?
Let me finish for Rob.
Okay.
If you want Perry and Henrique on the second line, those aren't second line players. They deserve to be on the third line. Henrique should be on the third line center as he was brought in to do, okay?
Okay, but again, tell me, why the guy that hasn't scored 21 goals deserves to be up there then?
Well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was having a bit of a slump, too, from what I understand.
He was still creating points, and he has scored a goal, but Kane has 21 games without a goal, so he should play ahead of those two other guys.
So a guy who's done it in the past, okay, has produced a pass in the playoffs. You're going to have him on the third line, and you're going to have two guys who have no business being on the second line.
Well, I disagree with Adam Henrique. I think Adam Henrique's a very nice hockey player. And put it this way.
Yeah, but he was supposed to come in to be your third line.
Well, no, who said that, though?
Well, that's what he was supposed
to
come
in for. Said, yeah, who said that? The coaching staff has put him as a second-line guy.
That's what Ken Holland said in his press conference.
He brought him in, said he could play as a second-line player or he could be a third-line center. He's versatile. That's why they liked him. If Leon Draisaitl obviously likes playing with Adam Henrique. He's been there for a number of games in a row.
Flawed. You tell me what they should line up then.
I'd have Adam Henrique 100% playing with Leon Draisaitl. 100%. I would probably have Fogle playing on the other side. I'd have him as the right winger. They were playing very well together, and I was surprised that they split.
Fair enough. And then, so you're going to have who are you going to have centering Kane then?
I would have Ryan McLeod.
And who's the other winger?
Well, you could have Connor Brown or Corey Perry.
Okay. And so you're telling me Henrique, Draisaitl, and Fogle is going to be a productive second line in the playoffs. Come on.
Yeah, I am. Well, you're telling me you want the guy that hasn't scored in 21 games to play on the second line.
Listen, he's proved it before. He's gone into slump, but if he's not getting time on the second line or the first line, he's not going to produce anyway. Not when you have guys like McLeod and he's constantly playing with Perry or someone else who can't do anything.
Well, apparently the coach disagrees with you.
Oh, man. This lineup, the way it is not. If you're watching what's happening here, too, there's some other players on this. Will Bouchard ever take anyone out? Did you watch two? And this happens every time. He's going to be exposed. You wait in the playoffs, okay? I don't care how many points he's got this year.
Bouchard's so should they sit him out, but Stetcher in?
Because he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to touch anyone.
So, okay, here's your choice. Do you pull Bouchard out and put Stetcher in then?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying someone like Coffey, kick his ass, whisper someone into Bouchard's ear and say, play some flipping defense.
You do know
All right, Alex, you said at the beginning of the year that you would call us with emotional, unhinged phone calls five times. You are now done, okay?
I mean, Evan Bouchard, he has warts in his game, 100%. But he is, I think, third in the league in points, and he's plus 30 on the season.
Yeah.
Now, I 100%, and he had an off game today, as did most of the others, but Evan did. You're taking the good with the bad with Evan Bouchard. I do believe that the Oilers are not finished deciding on who their lines are going to be. I liked Fogle, Leon, and Henrique. I thought they played well together. The Oilers got a couple big wins in a row. And then they switched them up, and I was a little surprised by that. I like Fogle's speed with Leon more so than Corey Perry there. Leon, I think, enjoys playing with Henrique. Henrique is a very smart hockey player, very dependable defensively. Having said all of that, this was probably the first Oiler game we've seen in a while where the line stayed together from beginning to end. We didn't really see a whole lot.
I think Knobloch was like, we're finishing this game the way we started it. If it's going to be like this. Yeah,
so you don't deserve to get moved around.
Yeah, but again, and we've talked about this earlier and in other times. You have Vander Kane hasn't scored in 21 games. Yeah. I would disagree with Alex as well. Vander Kane does not deserve to be on the second line. Yes, other players have not scored. Kane has had some very quiet nights.
Yes.
And has made some very poor decisions with the puck, quite frankly. So you have Evander Kane, 21 games without a goal. And again, Connor Brown was supposed to be a lock to round out the top six. Now, I know he's working and he's has some points lately and three goals, which is better, but he still hasn't played his way back into the top six. So that's part of the reason they're playing around with the lines.
Yeah, 100%. And I still would not be shocked that if you see Connor and Leon playing together more than not come playoff time, as any time it does not go well for the Oilers, it seems to be the fallback, not just of this coaching staff, but every coaching staff that we've seen here over the years. To me, again, this is one game. They have another big game coming up in 2 days against another powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how they perform that night. There's some concern, but this is still a team that is one of the top five best teams in the National Hockey League that had an off night, and on an off night against a good team, you will find yourself on the wrong side of the scoreboard as they did.
All right, 5-0 Dallas wins. Here is Oilers defenseman Mattias Ekholm.
Mattias, after what was a pretty decent start from your club, I mean, you guys outshot the Stars and then also had a lot of grade-A chances in that first. What do you think happened in that second that allowed them to score four?
Yeah, obviously we let the second one in, and after that it seemed like we just wanted to go on our own and try to sauce pass this right through our own slot, and just got away from our game, I feel like, and Dallas is one of those teams, when they get those opportunities, then they're going to capitalize, and they did in a big way. So that's something we'll have to learn from and be a lot better.
What is or what can't be said during the game, and when you guys try to at least gain some traction, but you guys keep making kind of self-inflicted wounds, as Ryan Nugent-Hopkins described?
Yeah, no, it's hard at that point because it happens so quick. If the goals are spread out, it's a different story. But they just kept coming, and we really got to do a better job of managing, and shifts after goals have to be a lot better, where you just play simple and get it on the forecheck. But we weren't able to do that tonight.
Is this one of those games when you watch it back, it gives you more of an idea of what happened, or the fact that you lived it, you know kind of exactly where things didn't quite go the right way?
No, I'm sure we'll watch it and learn from it. We certainly have to. And though I have in my mind right now what I think went wrong, but you watch it on film, there usually is some different stuff that happened that you see. So I think it's good to learn from it. I think it's a good timing right now to really go through it and see it and learn from it. And we don't have that many games left here before it starts for real. So, big learning game for us.
Are there games sometimes where you can just say it was one of those games, it doesn't matter who you're playing or when you're playing it, or can you ever kind of go, hey, just let's move on and get ready for the next one?
Well, we're going to have to do that regardless of how serious you take this loss or whether you move on. That's just the way it is. So there's going to be a new game here in 2 days, and we have a tough schedule, so we got games coming. But I think there's obviously time to also take some time to learn, and because I thought tonight they played a game that we're going to see in the playoffs, and we're going to have to manage that a lot better.
I was going to ask about that. How much did this serve as a litmus test in terms of how thin the margin of error is when it comes to playoff hockey in a few weeks' time?
Yeah, no, that's you hit that on the head for sure. It's that's where you got to stay a little bit more stubborn defensively. You can't unravel when you go down two or three goals. You just got to stay the course. You never know if it's two or three goals going into the last period. You can always come back, but when it gets down to four or five, it's really tough. So, again, that was one of those games, and we'll have to learn from it.
All right. That is Mattias Ekholm, who has his 5-game point streak come to an end tonight, as not a single Oiler got a point. 5-0. The Stars take it. You'll hear from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. We'll get to Dylan and Ralph on the Certainty Hotline. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
Faxa, Sagan, Johnston, Ben, and Steele score the goals for the Dallas Stars. Jake Ottinger stops every puck. 5-0 Dallas beats the Oilers. Ottinger, 2 consecutive shutouts, 152 minutes and 21 seconds without allowing a goal. The Stars set a new franchise record with their 8th consecutive victory.
Hey,
the Oilers
Edmonton,
are
Adam
shut out General. For the third time this season. They are now 45-24-5 with 8 games to go, back-to-back Friday and Saturday, 3-day break, and then they get 6 games in 9 days to finish off the regular season. We have Dylan on the Certainty Hotline. Dylan, you're on with Robin Reed. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Really appreciate the way you handle all the different opinions and perspectives. I got a couple comments and a question, and then I'll just hop off and listen to you. I totally agree with Rob in terms of the second and third line. I like Drysdale, Henrique, and Fogle, and then McLeod, Perry, Kane. They seem to work really well together. My question for Rob is, I just wonder about Mattias Janmark. I don't want to be critical, but he seems like a guy who creates a lot of opportunities for himself but lacks a finish on those chances. Like, he seems to always be in and around the net, creating rushes, but just can't bury. So I wonder, Rob, in your experience, if there's something you see that is it just bad luck, or is there something that Janmark's doing that's sort of preventing him from finishing?
Good question, and he does, and we saw it again tonight where he had the wide-open net, and Ben's stick got in the way and stopped him. He's got speed. He does create. Some guys know where to put the puck. Some guys don't. Some guys have extreme confidence when the puck's on their stick. Others don't. We have seen him a couple times on breakaways make really pretty plays. I don't know. You don't. Guys that score always score. Guys that don't, you don't see them all of a sudden finding the back of the net often. They do like Janmark. We see that considering with the rotation that they have. It seems to be Brown, Carrick, and Ryan are the three guys that are rotating. We've yet to see Janmark come out. So that means they have a lot of trust in him. I think they trust him defensively. I think they like that he is a kind of got a very good defensive conscience. He does create he's faster than he looks, and he creates opportunities with his speed, but the finish just isn't there. And we saw a team tonight that has finish in its bottom six. Uh-huh. And the Edmonton Oilers right now, and we're talking McLeod and Kane and Janmark and Carrick, the finish isn't there that the Dallas Stars are capable of doing.
Yeah, it's a good point. And that's what we've talked about. You know, if you need a goal from a bottom six player, who's more likely to get it? Well, it'd be Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so Janmark has four goals. Brown has three all recently. Ryan has five. Just looking at guys who usually play in the bottom six. What does Carrick have? He has 10, doesn't he? Carrick has nine.
Nine, yeah.
So Faxa has six. Craig Smith has 10. Sam Steele has 8.
Well, Faxa has 7 now because he scored tonight.
Oh, sorry, Faxa has 7. So, you know, there's...
And Steele has 9 now. But those guys also...
Yeah. So it's not like it's 20-5, but it's, 10-6 or 9-4 kind of...
Yeah, 100%. For Dallas. Yeah, Dallas is just... Dallas is a good team. They're just built different than the Oilers. They don't have the superstars. They don't have the top three, Connor, Leon, and Hyman, that the Oilers have. But they do not have any weakness throughout their lineup. They're a tough out. They're a very, very good hockey club.
We have Ralph on the line as well. Ralph, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, I had a couple cocktails. I was embarrassed about the score tonight. And I'm kind of wondering, one question. Why don't we sell McDavid, open up our cap, and get some players in here to play hockey and want to win the cup?
I think you should have some more cocktails. Thanks for calling. We will hear from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins when we get back. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Well, a dismal night in Dallas for your Edmonton Oilers as the Stars take it 5-0. Here's Oilers forward Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Ryan, maybe just take us through the disappointment of taking on one of the best teams in the NHL and seeing a 5-0 score at the end of it.
Yeah, obviously not the way that we play hockey. I think we were all pretty happy with our first period. I thought we were skating well and created a lot of chances, and then they get that second one and we completely go off script, and that's not our game. That's not how we're going to win at any point in the season, especially with 9 games left against one of the best teams in the league. So it's disappointing, but we got a couple weeks here, a few weeks to figure that out, make sure that doesn't happen again, and this should be a good learning lesson for us.
Was it purely a result of self-inflicted wounds, making costly mistakes in your own zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of all over the ice. We were getting beat back. A 4-on-1, breakaways, 2-on-1s, completely talk about leaving picks out to dry there. At the end of the day, if you keep giving them chances like that, they're going to put some in. So, I think it was kind of all over the ice, but it's just managing pucks and getting beat back into high-scoring chances.
When it comes to the structure, was the undisciplined play a little bit of a concern, especially this late in the season?
Well, we know we know what we can do, how we can play. We shouldn't be concerned, but it's definitely a lesson that there's no nights where you can do that. No matter who you're playing, you get down a couple. It's about sticking with it. I think we've done a great job of that at times this year. It's just kind of being a confident group, whether we're down a goal, two goals. It's having the belief that we're going to get the job done at the end of the day. And if we come up short, we're going to come up short doing playing the right way. And tonight, that wasn't the case, and we know that we're better than that.
As you guys try to get traction during that game, Ryan, was there anything or is there anything that can be said on the bench to try to get a little bit of traction at least halfway through this hockey game?
I mean, you try to... Obviously, you gotta try to stay positive and not dwell on what just happened. But at the same time, it's you can't go out and keep repeating the same mistakes. So the positivity only goes so far. I think that stretch of 5-10 minutes of just giving the puck back to them and letting their momentum just kind of take complete control of the game. We have to be able to stop that. We're a mature enough team to be able to stop that. We know we have it in here. Wasn't there tonight.
Well, the Oilers will try to find it on Friday. That's our next game broadcast presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. They are home to the Colorado Avalanche, who play in Minnesota tomorrow. Friday's game, 5:30 face-off show, and the puck will drop at 7. Get more on this one, more on the team on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Big thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. 5-0, Dallas is your final.